Meeting. The meeting of February 5th, 2024. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 10 a.m. I ask that our clerk call on the roll.
Council Lady Devon, who are you? City of Black.
Here.
City of Luna City.
Here.
City of Coachella.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Indianwell.
Here.
City of India. City of Laquita.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs. City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside. Torres Martinez Desert, who are you? Chair Wheeler.
So it's a colleague from the city of Indian Wells is already standing to lead us in the film.
Thank you. Please place the flag and repeat with me.
I thought it was still a which says, or at least, it is still really nice to be able to describe.
One.
On the agenda items, is there anyone in the public who would like to address this meeting?
Standing.
Move on to item number 5, Chair Executive Director's announcements.
Yeah, a couple of announcements. One of which is the staff of the California Transportation Commission was in Riverside County last week. They held a workshop, Randy, that was in Riverside, I believe, right? And then they came out to the desert to visit potential project applicants, including CVAC, the city of Coachella, Indio. We hosted them in the city of Coachella. Thank you very much. Had a little lunch. They provided advice to all of the cities that they visited with. And just to remind everybody here, this is one program that Tom Kirk cannot complain that we're not getting our fair share of funding. We've actually competed very well against the state of California, CVAC has, and our member agencies. And I think it really shows commitment to active transportation in the valley and good applications and a lot of this prep work going on. So if anybody needs support on an active transportation project proposal, our staff stands ready to do so. And we look forward to getting some more money out of the next cycle. Lastly, Indian Canyon, thanks to the work of our County Transportation Commission members from the Coachella Valley, we at least have an equal chance with RCTC to ask for some federal funding. We're very engaged on putting a project proposal together to ask for about $30 million. As you all know, we've already received $50 million, but I'm sure, as we briefed the city of Palm Springs last week, the project is certainly at least $75 million, probably closer to $100 million. So every little bit of state and federal money to bring in reduces the cost to CVAC and certainly the city of Palm Springs. That's the extent of my report, Mr. Chair.
We look forward to continuing the conversations of making us able to compete against the region. I think that's very, very important that we understand that. I guess RCTC and other agencies are going to copy us, you know, and that's okay. But I think for us, we need to just continue to compete.
And learning.
We are learning. With that, we'll move on to item number 6, consent calendar. It's recommended that these items be taken up simultaneously with installation of the mayor.
Move.
It's a motion.
Second.
DHS, a second by Wells. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Motion carried. Joey, I got you as a yes.
And I just parked it where it started dropping the fluid, so I didn't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Brian, I hear you. Go ahead. I pushed the wrong button.
That's a yes. We'll move on to item number seven. This is presentations. It's a design for broadband implementation across Riverside County and Coachella Valley. Rand?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tom Mullen, Riverside County Information Technologies Director of Broadband Services. Thank you for allowing me to join with you this morning remotely. My apologies for not being in the room with you.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Randy, were you going to introduce the subject?
Can you hear yourself?
Yes, sir. Randy Bowman with CBA, Transportation Department, Tom Mullen, the county's broadband director. So, looking at an update to the committee about the county's efforts related to broadband, and then I'll follow up with an update on our broadband and strategic planning. Thank you.
Tom, welcome.
Thank you. I apologize for jumping the gun on you. In the spirit of competing, as just mentioned, across the region, we in Riverside County have been working diligently to try and promote broadband access to residential and business customers throughout the county in incorporated and unincorporated communities. Next slide, please. We've taken really three primary tracks to try to close the digital divide throughout Riverside County. And the digital divide, as we've defined it, really is the lack of access to digital resources and technologies. That could be either from an infrastructure perspective, where you simply don't have internet service to your location, or you've got underperforming poor service to your location. The next piece is about affordability and truly the residents' ability to afford quality internet service into their home. And then lastly is really the piece that we're working on today is about digital literacy. And that is providing the support and training and learning opportunities for those that are simply not comfortable with modern internet services. We as the county have moved a tremendous amount of services online, just as all of you have, just as really the nation has. And there is a group of folks that simply need help. They need help on connecting to the services, to how do I send an email, to how do I reset my password on any of the given thousands of websites that folks have to visit today. And it's really about how can we help them digitally be literate and be part of the community in which we're all there. Next slide, please. Back in 23, we took a concerted effort to really begin the planning effort and went through an extensive effort to identify how do we accomplish these three primary goals. How do we bring in more infrastructure? How do we close the affordability gap? And how do we provide this digital literacy training? To that end, we've put together several reports that are on our website, which is at rivcoconnect.org. I encourage you all to go in and download them or look at them, utilize them. If any of you in your jurisdictions are working in any of these topics, we have a gaps and opportunities report, which really focused on the infrastructure. We've put together a funding report, which is focused on the myriad of grant opportunities that have been available to us. And we've put together a stakeholder engagement report, which is talking about our efforts to connect with the community, with you, and all those that we work with across the industry on closing this digital divide. We've summarized all of that and brought that together and inform our most recent version of the county's broadband master plan. This is the second version of this document. We had published an original version back in 2016-17 that really helped lead the efforts that we are still undertaking today. Next slide, please. As I've mentioned, we've broken down our efforts into three primary areas. These have been laid out in detail in our broadband master plan with individual action items. Each of these are actionable. And here again, I encourage if you're interested in any of these particular topics, feel free to take any of this information and utilize it for yourselves and your jurisdictions. Likewise, if I can be a resource to you, I'm happy to help do that. We are pursuing all of these efforts, again, across the county, whether it's an unincorporated community or an incorporated community, because digital divide really doesn't matter about jurisdictional boundary. It really just matters that we close it. Next slide, please. Let me talk briefly about what we're doing on the infrastructure side. Our approach has been to partner with the internet service providers, the ISPs. And here in Riverside County, we have three primary service providers. AT&T, which is primarily on the West End, Charter Spectrum, cable company, which is broadly across the county, and then Frontier, which is also relatively broadly across the county. In Coachella Valley, it's Charter Spectrum and Frontier that are primary service providers for residential service throughout the area. What we have done is identified areas of need, and we've done that through several different analyses. One, through financial. Two, looking at where good connectivity is as reported up through the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, and then ultimately as reported to the state of California through the California Public Utilities Commission, through a series of mapping tools, we've created priority areas within Riverside County. We then worked with the ISPs to go after the grants that are available. And fundamentally, those grants have gone from monies at the federal level to distribution to the state. We then have worked with the ISPs to go after the state dollars, which are really federal dollars, through a series of grant applications. In Coachella Valley, there are two primary areas that now are pending CPUC action on grants that have been submitted. The first is down along Salton Sea and North Shore on a series of grants that have come forward by Charter and Frontier, as well as up in Sky Valley, Desert Hot Springs area on the north side of the 10 freeway. Between the two areas, there are approximately 2,000 households that are pending CPUC action for grant application. And we are encouraged and hopeful that the CPUC will take that action soon. Those grants were submitted last summer and at the end of September. We have another round of grant opportunities that we expect to come forward here in 2024 through another program, federal program called BEAD, which is really about, will be another infrastructure set of grant opportunities that are going to come forward more broadly across the county. In working with the ISPs, we have approximately $116 million in grant projects that are pending action in areas really from Blythe all the way through Arupa Valley down into southwestern Riverside County as well. I should also pause and mention Colorado River Indian Tribes have also submitted a grant application for a project in Blythe that is also pending action by the CPUC. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, the priority areas on an infrastructure perspective, the areas in orange were identified as areas of need. And these, again, were primarily set out and identified because of the poor level of coverage by the ISPs in these areas. Primarily, these were in unincorporated areas and were based upon reportings from the carriers to the FCC and on to California. Next slide, please. On affordability, switching gears to our second pillar of action, there is a program called the Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP. And this is a federally funded program administered by the FCC to provide a $30 monthly subsidy to qualified households across America. Today, there are approximately 23 million households in the U.S. that are participating in this program. Here in Riverside County, we have over 213,000 households participating in the program. That represents almost a half a million residents receiving a benefit that equates to over $6 million monthly. ACP has been a fantastic program to help close the affordability gap in America. What we have done in Riverside County is to help people learn about the program and then assist them in getting signed up. We've done radio and television broadcasts in the Coachella Valley and in the West End. We've had billboards and outdoor advertising. We've had a robust social media outreach campaign. We've done direct mail. We've done in-person events. And most importantly, we've had a dedicated call center to help these individuals staffed. All of our material, as well as our staffing, has been in English and Spanish. And we continue to do that. ACP has been so successful, though, that it's running out of money nationally. The dollars have been expended, and at this point, the FCC has taken action to close new enrollment on February 7th, so just 2 days from now. Those that are enrolled will continue to receive a benefit until the program dollars are fully exhausted. And at this pace and at this point, that is expected to occur this April. There is legislation now that has been brought forward that is bipartisan, with support from large states, small states, red states and blue states, urban states and rural states, supporting the advancement of ACP. There's legislation in the House, which is H.R. 6929, and in the Senate, which is 3565, to renew funding for a year. We are advocating and will continue to advocate for renewal of this funding for this important national program. Next slide, please. This is just a quick snapshot of some of the materials that we've had out there. And I will pause and say that we've been happy to partner with local other cities and other community members to move this forward. And should funding be renewed, we will happily do that some more. If any of the cities would like more information or to better understand or to partner and utilize some of this material, we're happy to share that with you should the program be renewed. Next slide, please. I think I've mentioned, but just to clarify, I've dropped it in the slides so you can find it later. We're asking Congress to renew funding. We've got simple legislation that is moving forward to appropriate $7 billion for continuation of the program nationally for 1 year. We have also advocated for changes in the program based upon our experience that we think can help improve it going forward. And we are sharing that with congressional leadership. And in the meantime, we are working with the ISPs, AT&T, Frontier, Charter Spectrum, to clarify their lowest cost internet service programs. We will be publishing all of this material on our website, Rivco Connect, in hopes of being able to assist folks to connect to these low cost programs. Fundamentally, once the money runs out in April or May, that $30 will be billed back to the residents. That subsidy will simply go away and the residents will be required to pay the full cost of their internet service. That will put a financial burden on some households that I am sure will result in drops of service. And that's of concern to us. And so that's why we are pushing the carriers to try and identify and promote their lowest cost programs as quickly as possible. Each of them are working nationally to refine those programs. And as I said, we will have connectivity or links to those and we'll promote those each and assist in connecting to those programs through our call center. We're pivoting to try and help folks that may call us and ask for clarification, understanding, and assistance as best we can. Next slide, please. The last pillar that we are working on, as I've mentioned, is around digital literacy. And to this end, for many years, since approximately 2015, Riverside County has had a digital equity program where we have taken our surplus IT equipment from across the county, refurbished those pieces of equipment that are reasonable, and donated them back out to nonprofits across Riverside County, across all, quite frankly, all types of service groups. From museums and schools to libraries to individual service organizations, with the only stipulation that any of the computers that we donate stay in Riverside County for Riverside County residents. It's been very successful, and we now are looking for opportunities to identify specific funding to go and purchase new equipment as best we can. Additionally, we are working on a program that would allow us to create a sustainable, ongoing digital literacy and assistance program that we believe could be scaled up to the state. We are working on our proof of concept and putting our paperwork together now. And quite frankly, we'll be able to have a bit more information about this program, we hope, in the next quarter. It really is about the funding. There's been quite a bit of work to identify the need already. So we'll leverage that work. Now we're trying to bring forward a funding mechanism that we think is sustainable rather than the current grant programs that are based upon reimbursements. And we don't believe allow these programs to reach a level that is needed to service such a large community. Next slide, please. Our next steps are pretty straightforward. We will continue to work with the ISPs to bring new infrastructure forward. We will continue to advocate for the adoption of programs, the affordability of programs, and we will flesh out a digital equity funding scheme that we believe will be sustainable going forward. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. My contact information is here, our website, as well as our press kit that has all of our ACP materials. If you're interested in what those look like, we have all of that material up now, although unfortunately the program closes in 2 days, so we're no longer promoting it. We've taken down our billboards. We've closed our radio and television advertising and are switching any of the billboards that we can to save ACP. With connectivity to some websites that we believe help educate and allow folks to share their voice and support if they choose to do so. With that, I'll turn it back over to Randy and answer any questions that any of you may have. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Before we begin, I just need a note for the record that D4 and EOQ will have to bow. So with that, Randy, any questions?
Thank you, Chair. I probably say, Tom, thank you for that report. I mentioned you, but as a Mr. Civic issue, your advocacy efforts, obviously, I appreciate it. And I was wondering if I said numbers for Riverside County and News ACT as a whole, do we have a number specifically for the 4th District? Did you get into that? And how many folks potentially were missed?
Yes. So we've got over most recent reporting we have is from November 23 at the county level. I do not have breakouts by city. We do have them by zip codes. And quite frankly, we're working on mapping those out rather than simply looking at that in bulk. I can follow up with you and provide you that detail on what I'm seeing in the zip code area and roughly align that with what's going on in the Coachella Valley. We've tried to align that with the cities, and clearly the zip codes don't align with the cities, and so we're hesitant to publish those at the city level. In whole, Riverside County has 360,000 households that qualify for ACP, and of those, 213,000 as of last reported in November are signed up, which puts us at just under our 60% of all eligible households signed up. These are folks that are veterans on a pension or survivors. These are families of K to 12 students that are participating in free or reduced lunch programs, which here in California is everyone. It's college students on Pell Grants. It's Medi-Cal recipients. It's WIC recipients. It's those that, quite frankly, have financial need that, for instance, a household at 200% or below the federal poverty guidelines for Riverside County, which would be $60,000 annually for a family of four in Riverside County, qualify for ACP. So there is a tremendous, tremendous need. And again, this is households, not individuals. So 360,000 households represents nearly half of all the households in Riverside County.
Jim, I was just wondering if all of you gathering all the data. Could it say potentially we do receive more funding if the program continues? That data was targeting specific areas that need to be targeted and potentially have been lost along the way or maybe not as much of an emphasis But I appreciate everything else in here.
What we have done is focused on identifying those zip codes that have the highest and lowest participation in the program and continue to focus those that have low participation rates so that we put our advertising dollars and our outreach efforts to the neighborhoods that need it most.
Thank you.
Okay. The $7 billion renewal bills that are before Congress, is that just to maintain the status quo? In other words, keep the people on line for another year? Or does that also include funds to expand the program?
The way they've structured the program is the funds will go until they're fully exhausted. And so the $7 billion would allow for approximately 10 to 12 months of continued run at the current enrollment rates of 23 million nationwide. We would continue to push forward to expand the number of enrollees in the program, which would then shorten the life of the funds.
Okay, so that would be your plan. If the bill passes and the money is available, rather than locking in the existing users for a full year, your plan is to get more people involved, which would necessarily reduce the amount of time that the existing people would be subsidized. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that is the plan across America. We also realize that there may be some individuals that drop off the program during this period. If there is a cessation of the program for any period of time, and then we will need to work to re-enroll those individuals should they choose to participate.
Well, isn't it easier to keep people that are already on board, keeping them using it, rather than the expense of trying to find new people that are not on board, especially given the paucity of money available?
Yes, it would be. And I'm hopeful that the FCC will allow that process to move forward.
This is a question to Randy or Tom. If I'm tracking this right, obviously we're getting a presentation about Riverside County's efforts, but I know CVAG also applied for SNRAL funding and then Caltrans got middle mile funding to go down the freeway. So how are we coordinating all this and tracking it right in terms of what we're doing to bring internet service to the Coachella Valley?
I'll provide an update on our strategic planning efforts after Tom's presentation. And I'll answer your questions.
I have a question. So Tom, do the three ISPs themselves, do they have programs to pay those who are in financial need?
These are the low-cost programs that we are looking to identify and promote, and these generally have been anywhere from $15 to $30 in the past, and we're asking them to reduce those to something less than $30, for the lowest that they're willing to accept at this point, to allow those to move forward. We will then promote those out with the 213,000 or 360,000 households that qualify for ACP to suggest they sign up for these programs.
More questions for Tom? No? We'll continue with Randy.
Very good. Good morning, everybody. Just a quick update on where we are with our Coachella Valley broadband strategic plan. Just to go back a couple of years, legislation that enabled the program that we're engaged with was approved in 2021. Programming to create a grant program was then created in 22, and CBAG applied for LATA, Local Agency Technical Assistance funding in 2022, and we were awarded in 2023, and this committee, executive committee, authorized us to engage in that grant. It's about $979,000 grant that CBAG received. And starting in May, we conducted a procurement and landed a contract with committee approvals later last year. And we held a kickoff meeting in November, and the consultant is well underway with their activities. which will consume really this year, with completion of the planning effort in early or by early 2025. The grant has a sunset on the money, so we need to expend the funds within 2 years of authorization. Just a reminder, the project scope includes a lot of discussion with a lot of stakeholders to not only get a lay of the land, but also to work with our members on what where the needs are and how to satisfy the needs to serve unserved and underserved folks with reliable, fast broadband. Our partners are listed on the screen. In addition, as Tom alluded to, funds continue to roll for broadband investment. And Tom mentioned one program. There's a second program that additional funds will be available this year. And I've got a slide that summarizes the funding availability. In addition, the consultant is helping us to manage our grant and the reporting that comes with the grant. Really, the effort for our strategic plan begins with data collection. Everything from who's providing service within the Valley. Tom mentioned a couple of ISPs. There are then those that Tom mentioned, but the two that he mentioned provide the majority of service to the Valley. But we want to get an entire assessment of market availability, as well as the needs based on information from the federal and state governments and surveys we'll be conducting of our member agencies and residents and businesses. That leads to a gap analysis and then a potential implementation plan for serving these areas of served, unserved and underserved areas within the Cochino Valley. And then we will present and discuss with our members how to perhaps govern the implementation of such a program, what level of investment by public and private sectors are exceptional to the region. We'll conduct a business model evaluation, financial analysis, and even look for the potential of partners with the private sector. This is a standard that, if you will, I've learned the standard process for how agencies have conducted broadband planning throughout the U.S. We do expect to, at the end of this effort and even along the effort, identify perhaps early opportunities for public investment in broadband infrastructure. Because of these upcoming broadband funding programs, we want to be as ready as possible to apply for grant funding should that be something that CBAG wants to pursue. And so we would end up producing some construction drawings for early opportunities to link up certain unserved and underserved areas. As I mentioned, the data collection, we are in touch with your agency staff about a variety of policies, plans, information that informs how easy or perhaps how difficult it is to get broadband installed in our communities so that we can pave the way for solutions for providing broadband to the unserved and underserved areas. The broadband funding, again, the LIDAR program, which has been absorbed, it was a one-time $50 million investment, and CBAG received nearly $1 million of that. Tom mentioned the two applications that were submitted by the private sector for two regions in the Valley. That's the federal funding account, and it's a $2 billion program in the state of California. It's federal allocation. The B program, Tom mentioned, is almost another $2 billion. We expect the notice of funding opportunity to be released for BEAD around mid-year this year. And then also the digital equity program. The state has put in its early plan for how to structure the digital equity grant program within the state, and that's nearly $3 billion. And that concludes my update on our broadband planning effort. Happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you for that. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the city of Indio Coachella Springs also received a lot of awards. I'm just wondering how that coordination is going to happen, or if maybe it's not. I'm not sure.
The coordination will happen. Our broadband planning effort at CBAG is going to complement the efforts that are being done by our member agencies. Palm Desert, where it came from, is also conducting its own locally funded broadband planning effort. And we're going to be coordinating with the teams that are managing either the LADA grant funded efforts or the locally funded efforts. And so we're looking at not only the lay of the land in terms of availability of the internet service providers, but also the efforts that are underway in the individual communities.
Very good. It seems to be plenty of money for implementation in the future.
A lot. I think some folks in the area would say it's certainly not enough. Some fiber installations can be very expensive, let alone the carrier costs.
Thank you. So I'm SCAG puts out Money Mondays. I don't know if y'all get that email, but they are announcing the California Public Utilities Commission has some funding available, and it's the California Advanced Services Fund Broadband Public Housing Account, which provides grants and loans to finance up to 100% of the cost to install inside wiring and broadband network equipment. Broadband networks offering free service for residents of low-income communities. So those grants are open, and the deadline is July 1st, 2024. You probably already knew about it, Randy.
Got that email.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Seeing no questions. So thank you again for this presentation. We look forward to a future where we have plenty of broadband. Move on now to item number B. This is to establish qualified professional services vendors. Randy, welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Chair. Today I want to talk about an effort done to help pave the way for partners. It's time to either grant opportunities that arise, as well as individual project needs by our projects and programs. CB Link, CB Sync certainly are the regionally significant projects that CBAG is managing, and CBAG has also added to its regional project portfolio on the Arts and Music Line project, the Broadband Strategic Plan effort, and the Indian Canyon Blow Sand Mitigation Project. Last year, CBAG procured contract managers and outreach consultants for the Arts and Music Line, on-call traffic engineers, designers for broadband, CB Sync Phase 3 projects. Right now, CBAG is conducting 5 concurrents, and the project portfolio continues to increase as CBAG leverages new funding opportunities to meet the region's needs. Procuring the professional services to plan and design these efforts takes substantial staff time and effort. CBAG also routinely procures professional services and the required expertise and capabilities to augment our in-house resources to conduct various activities, to deliver projects, to meet project schedules, and apply for grants. Such services include design, grant writing, public outreach and engagement, construction management, and inspection. These are just a few examples of the types of professional services CBAG needs to implement projects that seek grant funding. So we need to go from one-off lean procurement efforts to having a bunch of professionals to help us with our needs. My attempt at being human.
You would have just got a motion from Mary and Ashley.
The presentation will be over.
Second, now once the
so. Okay. So the process, we advertised an RFQ for 18 professional disciplines, everything from grant writing to engagement and outreach, design, et cetera, et cetera. We advertised that in December. In January, we received 42 statements of qualifications from firms in the Southern California region. All statements of qualifications were responsive, and all disciplines that we had advertised, 18 disciplines, were covered by more than one firms. So where do we go from here? What we are recommending today is authorization to establish a qualified vendor list to proceed with securing professional services that we need on our basis in a more expedited fashion. But it's not the end. We know that despite all of our procurement efforts and contacts and courtesy emails, that some firms just simply don't know that agencies are conducting procurement. So professional service providers will contact us even after this initial qualified vendor list, and they would like to be added to that statement of qualifications list. And we would like the ability to do that and then come back to the committees on an annual basis to ratify those additions. This will be a living, breathing list of a stable full of horses to help us with our needs. So this would not be the end. We would continue coming back to the committees on an annual basis. And we're also proposing that the qualified vendor list be refreshed in total about every 3 years. So hence an expiration date. So our recommendation today is to establish the qualified professional services vendor list through June 30th of 2027 and authorize the executive director to approve additional qualified submissions in the off times throughout the term and negotiate and execute contracts for professional services up to $50,000 from the qualified vendor list.
And Chair, if you wouldn't mind, I just want to note for the record that City of Indian, City of Pops Springs also came in beginning of the last item and are here to participate in potential action.
Any questions?
Just one. If you're not on the list and you think you've been unfairly treated, what's your option to do?
The vendors would have an opportunity to submit a statement of qualifications. Every SOQ or statement of qualifications that we received met a minimum, our minimum threshold.
They're on.
They're all of this.
I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
Is there a motion or another question?
So, generally speaking, when you have a professional service that you need one of these firms to reply for, you are going to solicit all of them in that particular. Sorry, my wrist was ringing. you're going to solicit from all of those that are in that particular qualifying profession, or you're going to do the top three, or.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is based on the context of the need at the time, we request proposals for all. Within a given category, or we may show that list based on who might be not only interested but available, because this is a long-term contract. We don't know the workload of any given consultant, so it'll be that as well as a combination with their price proposal as well. Some consultants are more expensive to work with than others.
I just want to make sure that everybody's getting an opportunity to propose
a
very
apt to your
classification.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
I'll second.
The City of La Quinta, motion by and second by the City of Indio. Do you need a roll call?
No, I don't know. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Any abstentions? Joey?
Aye.
Motion carries. We'll move on to item number C. This is deployment of CVC and phase two construction. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Chris Gunderson, CVC program manager. Here to give you an update on the operations phase of the project. And currently, phase one of the project is complete, which includes Ramon Road, Washington Street, and all of Highway 111, save a section through Ranch Mirage, and I will touch on that momentarily. And then construction on phase two began last year and is currently underway. They're touching on just about every city right now, installing fiber optics and some of the equipment at the signals. And we're being sensitive to, obviously, these festivals going on, different activities, holidays, those types of things. And I want to point out that the Ranch Mirage is not currently part of the project. They are cooperating extensively with us, which is outstanding.
Thank you.
This gentleman back here is working very hard for us. It's awesome. Thank you. After last year, we CBAG staff along with Tom Kirby visited the Traffic Operations Center for Caltrans District 8. Quite an impressive facility. And that's in Fontana.
Fontana, thank you.
And actually, yeah, it's right on the border of Fontana Ranch. It's an impressive facility, not just from a traffic standpoint, but an architectural standpoint in terms of what that building can withstand and still maintain operations. We learned a lot on that visit there. And it also facilitated a better relationship with Caltrans. We get a better understanding of our project is the legal staff that's monitoring their work schedule. And then it just so happens that right after our visit, not too long after, we had a little weather event down here with Hurricane Helen. And during that event, we were able to monitor some of the severe conditions that impacted not only the I-10 freeway, but Bar and Rock, and different parts of the I-10 freeway near Washington and Jefferson. And what came out of this, all these photographs have been taken from our video system out there. We were able to transmit these videos to both Riverside County and Caltrans. And they knew that there was problems out there. They didn't know the extent of it. And this facilitated them pushing more resources to the valley to help hopefully get I-10 back open. It was quite an interesting day. You can see the trail of traffic going up Barn Road there. During that day, watching things happen, I actually timed in and out burger truck traveling from Barn Road until I got back on the freeway. That was 4.5 hours.
It was long.
This has also given us a lot of anecdotal stuff, perceived conversations with Caltrans Riverside County, and also get more input onto the phase three, which is Barn Road and the I-10 corridor. There's that planning proceeds. There's a lot of conversations taking place with them to help us in that direction to integrate the CV Sync system into Caltrans and Riverside. This was an interesting one to watch. The hole that truck is in, this is just a quick little story and we'll move on. We watched the truck get stuck. We watched them try to dig themselves out with coffee cups, then skip loaders, then ultimately a Caltrans vehicle or Riverside County vehicle showed up with one of the big buckets, and they had a 6x Army vehicle that somebody had close by, and they ultimately got the truck out of there. We were communicating while this was happening with Riverside County, because as soon as they removed that truck, you've got a huge crater in the road. We didn't want anybody else falling into it. Literally, when the car came out, Riverside County crews were on site to immediately shut that down until we could repair.
I think that's the photo we need to remind people to,
turn around and drown.
Yeah.
It was our traffic version of Wide World of Sports watching all this in real time. I will say, as we finish up our presentation here, our update, we are continuing to help the different cities with the major events that are coming up. With La Quinta, we help with Ironman. We're getting ready to assist Indian Wells and La Quinta tennis tournament and preparations for Coachella Bass Stagecoach are underway. We just had a meeting with Indio and the chief of police there, and we are actually going to have staff embedded into their operations so that we can see behind the scenes and how we can assist. As phase two moves into that region, it would be vital that we bring tight communication with us to help with that smoothly. With that, I'm open for any questions.
Any questions? Appreciate the work, Ken.
My pleasure.
It's a great round to be a part.
Thank you.
This is an information item. We'll move on now to item number 8, information. We'll go down to item number 9. This is still a long non-agenda items. Is there anyone who would like to travel this meeting of the transportation committee on Monday, the 1st? Here. That's the next meeting of the executive committee. Will be Monday, February
26th.
Here.
Thank you. It was not an agenda item. You know, as we all know, that there is a significant deficit in our state budget, and some of that has impacted the funding that many cities have got, and it's going to be pulled back. So there is a toolkit from SCAG to advocate to not touch those REIT funds. Most of those REIT funds are so that we can build housing. And we can't have it both ways. Either there's a housing crisis or there's not, and there is. So let's get to work. And if everybody can have their city use that toolkit to advocate that the REIT funds are not touched so that we continue preparing for housing and building housing, they get, well, hopefully it may make a difference and help us leave those REIT funds untouched. We'll see. So I did send the toolkit over to Tom, and I'm sure other people have, they received it in their email. I think it's really critical that we act on this.
I'll forward it. You may get a duplicate, but of course it is important. And CVAC will send the letter and support for each of them.
And this is a connect the dots. Last week, the county had a homeless symposium. And this area alone is on track to building 1,600 new homes. So that's a significant amount of homes. That we are adjourned.
Thank you.
It's not like